Welcome to Gospel Tangents. I'm your host, Rick Bennett. Please consider donating or purchasing a transcript by going to our website, gospeltangents.com/shop. You'll help support other documentaries and podcasts such as this. Here's part two of our discussion about Joseph's plural marriage to Fanny Oliver. In this discussion, we'll talk about Emma Smith as well as Oliver Cowdery's reaction. They both thought it was adulterous. On the other hand, Fanny's family seemed to believe that it was a legitimate marriage. What does Brian Hales think about this? All right, well, let's go on. So somehow this relationship was discovered. You alluded to that Emma wasn't very pleased with it, and neither was Oliver Cowdery. Can you talk about their reactions and how they discovered it?
Yes, and in an appendix here in my volume two, and I'm not trying to plug my books, they're out in paperback
you
now.
Can though. Plug away. I'm perfectly fine with that. They're great books.
But I'll just hold this up at the camera. And I think I actually have posted this appendix on mormonpolygamydocuments.com.org. So if you go there, I think I actually have put this up there. But the point is that there's only 19 accounts that we have that talk about Fanny. They contradict each other. They come from good sources and dubious sources. And so if somebody wants to figure out what they want to believe about Fanny, just get that appendix, read the 19 accounts, and form your own opinion. There are actually a few other important things, but those are the primary accounts that people need to know. What we understand is that more or less the people that Joseph Smith told about Fanny Alger as a plural wife, they didn't believe him. But most of the people that learned it from Fanny did believe, which is interesting. Fanny's family believed. The family that Fanny went to live with was Chauncey Webb and Eliza Jane Webb. They believed that this was an actual marriage. But Joseph is caught with Fanny, and they're in a haymow. They're in a barn. And we were out there in Kirtland with the John Whitmer Historical Association meeting this last September, and I asked Mark, I said, where's the barn? You know, he had no idea. We, you know, it's long since been destroyed. But they were discovered by Emma in the act. Now, we could assume that was something sexual. I mean, some people want to say, well, it was in the act of getting married by Levi, the ceremony. Bit of a stretch. Maybe it was just in the act of something affectionate. Virtually anything affectionate would have been over the line in Emma's eyes, understandably. But she caught them, and she's not accepting Joseph's explanation at all. You know, this is a plural marriage. God authorized it. Yeah, right. She's pretty, and this isn't working for me. And so Joseph, according to one of the accounts, gets Oliver and says, in the middle of the night, and says, Oliver, come help me with this. Well, Oliver hears the story and sides with Emma and thinks Joseph is having an adulterous affair. And that was his opinion probably right up until his death, that Joseph was not authorized to marry her. It wasn't a marriage. And he made hints to the high council and members of the high council that Joseph had been guilty of adultery. He did not accept any story of a marriage ceremony as being valid, and neither did Emma. Years later, in 1847, William McClellan had an interview with Emma, and Emma didn't want to talk about polygamy, but she did say, look, if you tell me things you heard, I'll tell you whether they're true or false. And in that conversation, she said Joseph was both an adulterer and a polygamist. Now, we don't know what she meant by that. My theory is that she never did accept Fanny as a true plural marriage and thought it was adultery, and Joseph had to seek repentance and all of that. But in my mind, that's the dichotomy. She accepted Nauvoo polygamy, but never accepted Kirtland polygamy.
So going back to that other point that I just made, so I didn't realize that Oliver coincided with Emma. That's kind of interesting. But Oliver's opinion, would that argue against the 1830 sealing power restoration and more towards an 1836? Or do you think that has any impact on that at all?
You know, I do personally believe that even though Oliver was there receiving this authority from Elijah, Moses, and Elias, I really am not convinced that they knew what this authority was all about. And of course, there was a rift right after that. The blow up came in, according to Don, it was just weeks later. And so from that point forward, there's a rift between Joseph and Oliver. So if Joseph was receiving additional understanding about the authority, Oliver would not have been privy to any of that. So the only knowledge Oliver had of those ordinations was what they had before that point and whatever was given in the in that vision, which apparently wasn't much, or if it was, it wasn't written down. So again, I can see Oliver receiving authority, he doesn't understand, and then there's a rift, and he never does gain any understanding. But Joseph, in fact, receives additional revelation during the next 4 or 5 years to help him understand it.
Well, that revelation in 1836 wasn't written down for 40 years, so it definitely took a while.
Well, they did have it in third person written down.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they do. I mean, people, the critics of the church, don't attack the timeline associated with the April 3rd, 1836 revelation. It was recorded, that is lost. It was turned into third person for the history just within days by, I think, Warren Parrish. And that account we do have. In fact, it was published in the Ensign by Elder Jensen, Martin K. Jensen, when he was... So you can see it there. But it's in third person, and that was changed. So.
Okay. So it wasn't canonized for 40 years, but it was written down right away. Okay. Well, great. So... So what happened to Fanny? So this was, do you know when it was discovered and then what happened to Fanny after?
It's an interesting story, and I'm not that expert on it, but Don has them being discovered, I think it's June of 36, and Emma throws her out of the house, understandably. She goes to live with Chauncey Webb for a matter of weeks or maybe months until her family, who live in the northern part of the state, are able to come down and pick her up. And they, by September, they're on their way out. And then there's this funny story, and I think it's from Messiah Hancock, where Fanny was being held captive in the Kirtland Temple. And so Joseph sent Levi to free her out of the Kirtland Temple. And so he backs his wagon up to the temple, and she jumps from the window. Well, if you look at the heights involved, it just doesn't work. And Mosiah Hancock is not that reliable. He's got some really weird stories. So there's this story of there being a big to-do about it, and I don't know those details. But they leave in September, and they go to Missouri as their destination, but they stop in Indiana. There Fanny marries a guy named Solomon Custer. And Don theorizes that Fanny is pregnant, and that's why she jumps into this marriage so quickly. And I'm not sure I believe that to be so, but we can understand why she would, having been broken up with Joseph, and Joseph could grant a priesthood divorce as easily as he could allow for the priesthood marriage. Some people have said she couldn't have been married to Joseph because she got remarried so quickly. I don't know that I buy that. I think when they left, Joseph would have said, you know, goodbye, and that would have been the end of the relationship. But her marrying this Solomon Custer, who apparently was a really good guy, not religious, and they settled in there in Indiana, where she lived out the rest of her life. She joined the Universalist Church, had, I think, like 8 children, and died a member of the Universalist Church. We have some interesting stories. There's one story that after Joseph was killed, that he had told Brigham, I want you to marry all of my plural wives to make sure they get taken care of. There's one rumor, and I don't know what to think of it, that says that Brigham actually went up and told Fanny that he would marry her, even though she was already married. And yet, just to fulfill the letter of this law that Joseph allegedly told the 12, But the story doesn't say that Fanny was offended and threw him out of the house, but has her just responding that I want to be the wife of one husband, and sent Brigham on his way. But I don't know if that's true. We have a little more reliable story from Benjamin and Johnson, who said that Fanny's brother had approached her and asked her about her relationship with Brigham, or with Joseph, rather, her relationship with Joseph Smith in the marriage, and her response was simply that's all my own affair, and didn't say anything to elaborate on it. So, but her family, Fanny's family, went to Nauvoo, The Webbs, with whom she lived, went to Nauvoo. They followed the church west. And whatever actually happened between Joseph and Fanny did not bother their faith of these people who knew the details. Same with Eliza Snow.
Now, was it true that her parents came all the way to Utah? Her brother did.
And I don't know for sure if they died or all, but they didn't leave the church. It's interesting that John Alger, in 1891, this is right after the 1890 Manifesto, he left the church over the Manifesto. He had a polygamous wife, and he could not accept that. So again, some irony.
Fanny's brother was a polygamist,
And he left the church over the Manifesto of 1890.
Wow, so, I did not know that.
Yeah,
wow, that's interesting.
I don't know how you want to read that if you comparing it to 1835, but
that is very interesting. I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Dr. Brian Hales. In our next conversation, we'll talk about whether polygamy is fair to women. Carolyn Pearson has recently written a book called The Ghost of Eternal Polygamy, where she states that polygamy is unfair to women. What does Brian Hales think about this?
And of course, on Earth, polygamy is not fair. It's unequal. You could say it's sexist if you want, on Earth. But I don't think that we know anything about eternal marriage, and we certainly don't know anything about eternal plural marriage.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.